Good evening, ladies, gentlemen, theys, and gays. This is The Real Pineapple. This is your boy. This is Hunter. Happy Oscar Sunday. Thank y'all for watching me on the afternoon tune. I just finished up on there. We did a whole 3-hour stream, which, goddamn, the Oscars, it seems like they get longer each year. It's amazing how long these fucking award shows get. But I want to go ahead and just kind of do a live, not even a live reaction, because I just did that. But I just wanted to kind of talk about the Oscars and about the winners and everything. So I'm just going to go through the awards and kind of give my thoughts and get on out of here. I'm not going to take too long because I'm very blessed to say I am starting a new job tomorrow. So, I may not be starting tomorrow. It might be Tuesday because my company laptop hasn't got here yet. So it might be Tuesday. So if I'm not working tomorrow, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to head up to the theater and check out Dune Part 2, because everyone I've talked to has just been singing its praises, and you know what? You know, fuck it, why not? So if that is the case, I will have a review for Dune Part 2 for y'all tomorrow. All right, so just jumping on in here. I've been saying it. Why is Jimmy Kimmel hosting for the 4th fucking year? I thought his monologue was fine. What up, afternoon tune? I'm assuming it's Josh. As far as what I had, Alea made these amazing deep-fried fish sandwiches last night, and we've been trying to get some more veggies into her diet, so she made this salad with tomatoes and black beans and garbanzo beans and all this stuff. So I did a fish sandwich with a side salad. It was delicious, and I've already taken my evening edible, so that'll kick in here in about 45 minutes. So I'm gonna be getting to bed here in a bit. So it was delicious. Pretty happy there. But I thought Kimmel was fine. You know, it's his fourth time hosting this shit. Like, at some point, I just kind of, I don't care. So give me another host next year. Give me Issa Rae. She's a great comedian. Give me Jeffrey Wright. Jeffrey Wright would be a great choice. No more Kimmel. Give me someone else. Give me Mulaney. I was literally about, get out of my head. Yeah, give me John Mulaney. John Mulaney and Nick Kroll, they did a great job hosting the Spirit Awards a couple years back. That would be fun. Aubrey Plaza would be a great host as well for the Oscars. Taylor Tomlinson, she's, to quote Mugatu from Zoolander, she's so hot right now. I mean, she'd be a great host. There are a lot of people. There are several options. You don't need to keep going back to the safe well. Like, go ahead and, you know, give me something else, you know. But it's very weird that they kind of keep going back to him. But whatever. So let me see here. With that said, let me see here. Okay, so getting into the award winners. For best sound, we have the creator, Maestro, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1, Oppenheimer, and The Zone of Interest. I thought this was kind of a layup for either Oppenheimer or Maestro, but Zone of Interest won. That actually shocked the shit out of me. I've talked about it. I'll have a review up on the channel here in the next week or so. I'm gonna have reviews dropping for all the Best Picture nominees. I'm probably gonna drop the Oppenheimer one tonight. But yeah, I wasn't crazy about Zone of Interest. I think it makes its point within the first half hour, and I think you're just kind of running out the clock after that. Wasn't crazy about this movie, but the sound does play a large role in the film, so I'm not mad at it winning for best sound. I would have preferred that Maestro win, just given the music and everything and the score. But Zone of Interest, that won Best Sound. For live action short film, we have The After, Invincible, Night of Fortune, Red, White, and Blue, and The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. Very happy that The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar won. I was really, really happy about that win. I'm a huge Wes Anderson mark, so I was happy to see Wes Anderson get an Oscar win. So very happy for him, and I love Benedict Cumberbatch, that beautiful bastard. So I was very happy with that win. Moving on, animated short film. We had Letter to a Pig, 95 Senses, Our Uniform, Pachyderm, and War is Over, inspired by the music of John and Yoko. That was the one I talked a lot of shit about because it's very easy to dunk on Yoko Ono. And of course, that's the one it ends up with. So, congratulations to it. Look, these people won Oscars, and I always have to say this. Like, I've already had a couple people get very snippy with me about my opinions. Go figure. Why do y'all care so much about what I think? Like, honestly, are you that insecure in your opinion that you need to yell at me? like get over yourself. If you're that offended, learn to fucking defend your point. Have some more passion for it. But yeah, that's been a peeve of mine tonight. I already have people yelling at my ass, but I digress. But yeah, congratulations to that. Moving on to costume design. We had Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. I kind of thought this was going to be Barbie's to win, and it didn't. Poor Things won. And look, y'all, Poor Things was in my top three favorite films last year. I fucking love Poor Things. So I was so happy to see it get this win and to see it get some love. I think it really deserved it. I was very happy to see it win here. Moving on to visual effects, we have The Creator, Godzilla Minus One, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, and Napoleon. Godzilla Minus One, fuck yes, won for best visual effects. For the record, Godzilla Minus One should have been up for way more shit. It should have been up for really for best picture, and as far as I'm concerned, best director. The fact that it wasn't, I think, is incredibly fucking stupid. And I think there's a lot of, yeah, I was very agitated with that. But yeah, it at least won this one. And anytime Godzilla shows up in Godzilla Minus One, it is fucking terrifying. You are terrified of that motherfucker. And that's how it should be. You should be afraid of Godzilla. And I was so happy to see this get its props and get a little shine. So congratulations to the team over there for directing and putting together this incredible film. I can't wait to get this on 4K. I just showed my partner Kong Skull Island about a month ago, and she was really digging that just because of the human aspect of it. And I was telling her Godzilla Minus One goes even harder than this does. So I can't wait to rewatch that. I can't wait to watch it with her. I know my cats will freak out in the best way, but I'm really excited to rewatch Godzilla Minus One. I'm excited to get the, I'm assuming it'll come with the black and white version. I'm really excited to watch that shit. So really enjoyed that. So on the makeup and hairstyling, we had Golda, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Society of the Snow, and Poor Things. Again, Poor Things winning again, which, again, fuck yes. I love Poor Things. So happy it won. Moving on to international feature film, we had Io Capitano, Perfect Days, Society of the Snow, The Teacher's Lounge, and The Zone of Interest. Pardon me. How Godzilla Minus One isn't up in this category is fucking it's fucking ridiculous. It is fucking absurd that they weren't up for Best International Feature Film. Zone of Interest, like I said, I just think it's boring. I just think it just overstays its welcome. But, you know, I know this was a movie that did hit for a lot of people. So, I mean, what are you going to do? So, I mean, congratulations to him for that. Moving on to documentary short film, we had the ABC's Book Banning, The Barber of Little Rock, Island in Between, 99 Weipo, and The Last Repair Shop, which was the winner. So I was talking about this on the afternoon tune, and so I'm very grateful. I'm very lucky in the sense that I'm able to go ahead and get a screener sent to me from studios. I'm very grateful for that. I'm very fortunate in that sense. But one thing that that is really hard is the documentary features. Those are really kind of left off the radar, and I really wish I was able to see all these short films in these feature documentaries. I wish I had more access readily available to me, because I'd like to be informed on these. So I've heard nothing but great things about The Last Repair Shop. I know that's on, I believe that's on Hulu that you can stream. So I probably will end up checking it out this month, but congratulations to them for winning. Their speech was incredible, talking about public schools and about how important music education is, which, my God, is music education important. I find it very funny that people will watch something like Abbott Elementary and not get what it's talking about. It's like, you know, this is talking about how public schools need to be better funded and there needs to not be all this red tape, right? Like, you understand this is an actual fucking problem. But yeah, congratulations to The Last Repair Shop for that win. Moving on to documentary feature film, we had Bobby Wine, the People's President, The Eternal Memory, Four Daughters, To Kill a Tiger, and the eventual winner, 20 Days in Madripoor. Congratulations to them for the win. Congratulations on that win. Moving on, we got the film editing. We got Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Poor Things, and Oppenheimer. I did think there was a decent chance that Anatomy of a Fall would win here, but Oppenheimer did win it. Like I said, I'll get to my thoughts on Oppenheimer a little later on, but congratulations to them winning there. Production design, we had Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, and the winner, Poor Things. I think the production design on Killers of the Flower Moon is very underrated. I think it's really underrated, actually. I thought Barbie was going to be the winner here, but Poor Things went ahead and got the win, which, again, hell yeah. Congratulations to them on that front. Moving on to music, original song. We had The Fire Inside from Flamin' Hot. I'm Just Ken from Barbie, which Ryan Gosling, the Ling, as I call him, he killed that fucking live performance. Oh, my God. He was amazing doing I'm Just Ken. I love seeing that so much. It Never Went Away from American Symphony, which Jean Baptiste did an incredible live performance of. A Song for My People from Killers of the Flower Moon. And then the eventual winner, What Was I Made For, which Billie Eilish, she brought the house down with her live rendition of that. That young woman, she's 22 years old. She just gets it. She gets this, I don't want to say this fame thing, but she just gets how to be true to herself as an artist. And I really do believe that the sky is the limit for her. I know some people go like, oh, well, yeah, you're talking about one of the biggest pop stars in the world. But let's be real, y'all. How many of these pop stars have ended with a really fucked up VH1 Behind the Music episode? Like, it feels like she definitely has her head on a swivel. Seems like she has a good crew, good inner circle. And I'm just happy for her because she's incredibly talented. And this is her second Oscar win after No Time to Die, winning for Best Original Song there. So congratulations to Billie Eilish and company. But I thought she did a great job with the live performance, and I really dug the song. Moving on to music original score, we had American Fiction, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, Killers of the Flower Moon, Poor Things, and the eventual winner, Oppenheimer. So look, I love me some Ludwig. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, considering him and Gambino came up at the same time, he'll always be invited to the cookout. I thought the score for Oppenheimer was really good. I didn't think it was great. I will say, all the respect in the world to the man. He's a fucking legend. But John Williams being nominated for Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny is an absolute crock of shit. When you think about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Meet in Mayhem, which was a better score. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, that was a better score. I was really agitated that neither of those films got that spot because they definitely deserved that spot. Really, Godzilla Minus One also was another film that should have been in that spot. So very dumb, very frustrating to me, but congratulations to Ludwig. This was probably one of the awards that actually surprised me, just because I thought the film was a little too weird for people, but I really dug the film. For animated feature, we had Elemental, Nimona, Robot Dreams, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, and then the eventual winner, the Boy and the Heron. So again, getting this out of the way, and I saw this was a kind of a big deal if you were paying attention. There were a couple Oscar ballots or people who voted, and some of their comments leaked. And some people were saying like, oh, I didn't see Elemental, but you know, it's Disney, so I voted for it. And it's like, that's my big fucking issue. Like me, I would definitely say the people over at the Afternoon Tune, like there are other podcasters who work their asses off to do an informed top 10, you know, top five, whatever, best of, worst of. And the ones who are putting in the work, you know, who are watching as much shit as they can to go ahead and give the most informed opinion. And you have these people on the Academy board who are just like, oh yeah, yeah, you know, Disney, fuck it. You know, here's a point. Put in the fucking work. This is your fucking job. Don't be so flippant about this shit. All right. You say you love film. You say you care about this craft. Fucking act like it. And again, Mutant Mayhem not being there. Fucking ridiculous over Elemental. It definitely should have been nominated over Elemental. I love Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. I enjoyed the hell out of The Boy and the Heron. In a perfect world for me, Robot Dreams would have won. And I know that's not out yet. I believe that comes out in May, it looks like. But when you all see that film, I think a lot of you will understand why I'm so high on that film. That was my number two favorite film of last year. I fucking love Robot Dreams. So I was agitated by that. I was really irritated that that it just didn't get nominated in reference to Mutant Mayhem. But I'm really happy for The Boy and the Heron because I really enjoyed that. Moving on to cinematography, we had El Conde, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. So this was kind of a three-way trek for me because I think Maestro, from a cinematography standpoint, is one of the best films of the year. It's fucking gorgeous. It is an absolutely gorgeous film. It really feels like Cooper and Camp really took a lot from Nightmare Alley. When you look at the cinematography on those films, you can tell that Maestro is kind of inspired in that sense. But I love the cinematography on Poor Things. I love that movie so freaking much. But Oppenheimer won, and honestly, my gripes about Oppenheimer aside, I really do think it's an incredibly well shot film. So it winning, I wasn't you know, mad at that. Moving on to original screenplay for writing, we had Past Lives, May December, Maestro, The Holdovers, and the eventual winner, Anatomy of a Fall, which, oh my God, Anatomy of a Fall kicks so much ass. That's a movie that I think a lot of people are going to discover after this Oscar and go, man, I should have seen that. I should have checked that out last year. It's a great fucking movie. And I was so happy for that team to go ahead and at least get one, because it is a movie that deserves to go ahead and get more praise. I was bummed because I really do think May December got really shafted, especially when it came to Best Supporting Actress and Best Actress. I think Julianne Moore and Natalie Portman both should have been nominated. I'd probably go Natalie Portman Best Actress and then Julianne Moore Supporting. But holy shit, that's such a great film. And it's not an easy watch, but if you haven't checked that out, you definitely should. But congratulations to Anatomy of a Fall. For adapted screenplay, we had The Zone of Interest, Poor Things, Oppenheimer, Barbie, and the eventual winner, American Fiction, which I am so, so goddamn happy that American Fiction won. Cord Jefferson also directed the film, and I'm so happy for Cord Jefferson. This is their first time directing a film, and this is like the first film they've written, and they're an Oscar winner. It's very reminiscent of Jordan Peele in that sense of, you know, getting that first time Oscar win for writing. And then Jordan Peele has gone on to be, you know, one of the most prolific people in the game right now. And so I can only pray that Cord Jefferson goes ahead and follows a similar path and has similar success. But I was so happy for American Fiction again to at least get one. That was tied for my number 10 favorite film of last year with Across the Spider-Verse. I adore American Fiction. That's something I'm going to definitely end up having to buy on Blu-ray or 4K. But I love that movie. So I was so happy for them. Moving on to Actress in Supporting Role, which was the first film that, first award that started the evening. We had Emily Blunt for Oppenheimer. We had Danielle Brooks for The Color Purple. We had America Ferrera for Barbie. We had Jodie Foster for Nyad. And then we had the eventual winner, Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers, who absolutely fucking deserved it. She looked absolutely radiant. I'm so happy for her because she was so great in Dolomite Is My Name. I think she was very underrated in Dolomite Is My Name. I think that whole film is very underrated. She was hilarious in High Fidelity. She's apparently really great in Only Murders in a Building. I'm such a fan of hers. And Danielle Brooks, the Color Purple kind of got overlooked. And I don't really know why. I don't really know why. I was going to review it for Black Cinema Showcase last month, and I just ran out of time. But yeah, I don't really know why it's just that didn't get more shine. I don't really have a clear answer on that. But I was so happy for Divine Joy Randolph. So congratulations to her. And I think there's just even more for her to do. This will go ahead and elevate her stock. And she's going to go ahead and get more roles. Well-deserved, by the way, because she's absolutely incredible. Moving on to actor in a supporting role. Let me take a sip of beer here. Hang on. Here we go. We had Sterling K. Brown for American Fiction. We had Robert De Niro for Killers of the Flower Moon. We had Ryan Gosling, Billing, for Barbie. And we had Mark Ruffalo for Poor Things. And we had, of course, the winner, Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer. So, as I mentioned, I'm not as crazy about Oppenheimer as others are. But goddamn, Robert Downey Jr., he is the best thing about the film. He's amazing in that fucking movie, and especially in the last 20 minutes where he just becomes completely unhinged. You're like, holy shit, this guy's a monster. And the film does a great job of giving you little hints of how much of a monster he is. And when everything just falls apart, oh my god, he is terrifying. And to see that Robert Downey Jr. has that gear, I do think there's definitely a prejudice against the MCU in the sense of acting. But I just rewatched Civil War like last week. When Robert Downey Jr. gets dark, he gets dark. That gear has been there, and you know, you get to see it with Tony Stark's progression or regression, however you want to go ahead and state it. But I thought Robert Downey Jr. was incredible in Oppenheimer. And it's honestly worth the rewatch just for RDJ alone. He's absolutely great in the film. I did think there was a world where Ruffalo was going to win it, because I do think him in Poor Things, I think he's such a prick, but he's an incredible prick in that movie. And he's incredibly hilarious. It's a very different type of role for Mark Ruffalo. So I did think there's an outside chance he could have won, but I want to give flowers as well to Sterling K. Brown, who is so goddamn funny in American Fiction. He's so fucking funny when he talks about being a gay man in Arizona and how he's getting confused for Tyler Perry. I thought that shit was so fucking funny. And it really made me laugh. He's great. He's great. And he's great in that. And then Robert De Niro. I want to shout De Niro because I've been hard on De Niro for some of the shit he's, some of the roles and stuff that he's taken, but he's been in his bag. Whenever he works with Scorsese, it seems like it just works, you know? But I'm a huge, I was really, really proud of De Niro's performance. He is a fucking monster in that movie. And as the film goes on and he gets more dark, it's a captivating performance. I think it's the best he's been since, shit, maybe since Limitless, which he's also incredible in. But I love De Niro in that. I thought he did an incredible job. Moving on to the last couple awards here. Best Actress, we had Annette Bening for Nied. We had Sandra Hüller for Anatomy of a Fall. We had Carey Mulligan for Maestro. We had Lily Gladstone for Killers of Flower Moon. And we had the winner, which was Emma Stone for Poor Things. And let me just say, that shocked the shit out of me. I was shocked that she won. If you even look at her, she looked like she didn't think she was going to win. She looked legit like, what the fuck? Like, she looked shocked that she won. It caught me completely off guard. I was like, what the hell? That was really probably the biggest, so my reaction, I've been saying I did react live on the Afternoon Tune, on our Oscar stream, and I was like, you'll see my reaction. I am like flabbergasted that she won. And let me just be clear. I'm already seeing the think pieces about, you know, oh my God, she, you know, how like the Academy is racist. And I'm sorry, I wasn't hearing any of this shit last year with fucking Jamie Lee Curtis winning. I'm sorry. Is it because it's not a Marvel film that now you're pissed off? Like, I just like to, like, let's keep it 100. Like, because I was screaming that shit from the rooftops. Like, what does Angela Bassett have to fucking do to win an Oscar? And all I heard was, no, Jamie Lee Curtis deserves it. No. But I'm sorry, Emma Stone goes all the fuck out for this movie, and now it's racist. So let's just keep that in mind next time you want to go ahead and get your torches. But I'm going to tell y'all what I've been saying all award season. And you can track this shit back to December when I watched Killers of the Flower Moon. I flat out said Martin Scorsese telling the story from Leonardo DiCaprio's perspective could cost Lily Gladstone the Oscar. I've been saying this for at least 3 months, and I had people going, oh, come on, Hunter, you're being ridiculous. And look, it cost her the Oscar. And look, this is no fault of Lily Gladstone's at all, because I think she gives a great performance in the film. But there is that middle part where she disappears for like an hour and she's pretty much bedridden. And I went, well, you're not helping her case as far as being the best actress. And so I feel bad from that perspective. I was arguing with some guy on Twitter about it, and I flat out said it should have been told from Molly's perspective. It should have been told from her character's perspective. And so the retort I got back from the guy was, well, Scorsese knows that he's not capable of making that movie and it would come across as racist. So then my immediate retort is, why not just executive produce it and get an indigenous director to go ahead and direct it? Someone who is more capable of telling that story. I think it's completely unfair to Lily Gladstone, and Emma Stone's going to get a lot of heat, I think, from people for something that Scorsese should be getting heat from, because that's a giant trapping. And whether it's The Help, whether it's, like Amistad, whether it's, something like The Blind Side, anytime you have something, a film like this that deals with race, so many times it feels like it's being told from the white perspective in order, I think, more often than not, to go ahead and cushion that white guilt a little bit. And so it's like, if you're going to tell one of these stories, and look, I'm not saying that Killers of the Flower Moon doesn't go hard, because it definitely does. Like, do not misunderstand me when I say that. But at the same time, I do think that you do a disservice to your audience, and you kind of give them an out. Like, you should, like, I remember, like, watching something like Promising Young Woman. That was a top five film. I think it was maybe number six, number five on my best of that year. And I remember saying, like, look, I'm a dude. I shouldn't finish watching Promising Young Woman and feel like, oh, that was a fun experience. Like, you're supposed to be uncomfortable. Like, sometimes you learn the best when you're uncomfortable, and you have to, like, sit with things. That's why something like Spotlight works so well. And I was so upset for Lily Gladstone on that front, because I really do believe that I think if you make that change to the story and to the script, I think she wins easily, personally. But Emma Stone, she went all the fuck out for Poor Things. And even just these little things from her walking, like hunched over to, you know, slowly evolving, walking normally. I think she does an incredible job in that film. I think she crushes it. So I was so happy for her, to go ahead and get that win. It sucks that it just had to come from that, with all this, controversy around it. So that sucks. It sucks. But anyways, really happy for Emma Stone. It's going to be really interesting to see what she does next, because she loves that director. She loves working with him. And she, one of the things about that speech I loved, she said, thank you for the gift of Bella. And it's like, wow, like, she really cares about that character and care about that movie. And like I said, she went all in on that movie. So I give Emma Stone all the credit in the world on that. But really well-deserved, really happy for her. Moving on to actor in a leading role, we had Bradley Cooper for Maestro. We had Colman Domingo for Rustin. We had Paul Giamatti for The Holdovers. We had Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction. And we had the eventual winner. We had Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer. So I said that Robert Downey Jr. is my favorite thing about the movie. That's through no fault of Cillian Murphy. I've been a fan of Cillian Murphy ever since. I've been a fan of Cillian Murphy since fucking Red Eye. I fucking love Cillian Murphy. I was so, like, again, even though I'm not crazy about this movie, like, whether it's Cillian Murphy is so good, he's good in In Time. And In Time is a terrible fucking movie. That's how good Cillian Murphy is as an actor. You know, whether it's Red Eye, whether it's Batman Begins, whether it's Peaky Blinders, like, he's been great for a minute. And kind of similar to Denzel winning for Training Day, where it's like, you should have won for Malcolm X. This definitely felt like we're recognizing your greatness, Oscar. All the shortcomings I really have about Murphy's performance are all script-driven, but the way that he's able to ping-pong and interact with everyone in that movie, whether it's Matt Damon, whether it's Rami Malek, whether it's Rob Downey Jr., whether it's Kenneth Branagh, whether it's Florence Pugh, whether it's Emily Blunt, whether Josh Hartnett, like, he is maintaining this level of excellence all the way through. So just off that alone, I'm not mad at him winning. I would have preferred Paul Giamatti winning, because I do think his performance is better just across the board. But I'm really happy for Cillian Murphy. And he seems so goddamn appreciative up there. And seeing him, one of the things that I really love about the Oscars, when they get them right, is that even when they get them wrong, in many cases, is that you can tell what it means to the people who it actually means something to. You know what I mean? Like, you don't get those, like, there were no fake Taylor Swift, like, oh my God, I can't believe I won. There was none of that shit tonight. Everyone who won seemed genuinely moved by it. And yeah, Cillian Murphy, I'm so happy for him. Like I said, I would have rather had Giamatti win. I really, in a perfect world, I think Jeffrey Wright should have won. But I was really happy for Cillian Murphy. So dude, like, I'll cover the label, but you can't tell what this is. But toast to you, sir. Like, I'm really happy for him. I'm really happy he won. Moving on to we got best we got two more. We got best director. So we had Justine Triet for Anatomy of a Fall. We had Martin Scorsese for Killers of Flower Moon. We had Yorgos Lanthimos for Poor Things. We had Jonathan Glazer for Zone of Interest. And we had, of course, the winner, Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer. So, okay, let me just get this out of the way. Am I still peeved with Christopher Nolan because he made Tenet and basically told people, well, you know, Tenet is worth dying to see? Yes, I still think Christopher Nolan fucking sucks for that. I think the fact that he talks so flippantly about dialogue and about sound and like not being able to hear shit, I think that's fucking ridiculous. The fact that he said you're not even supposed to really understand Tenet, it's like you say shit like this and it's like, this is why it's hard to like you, man. If you would just shut the fuck up, it would be a lot easier as a film fan to get into your shit, but you can't help yourself. With that said, I'm not going to sit here and act like Oppenheimer isn't well-directed. It's a well-directed film, and it's the most I feel like Nolan has cared in, like, two films, maybe three, arguably. I think the last thing that Nolan did that I really dug was Interstellar. And even Interstellar, I have some issues with, but I think this felt like Nolan, I won't say had something to prove, but it felt like almost he had something to prove to himself, like he could still do this. Because I do think that Tenet, I really do think he wants to do a Bond film, but I do think that, I don't know, but I just feel like he wants to do things his own way, which I, you know, I get that. But my big axe to grind with Oppenheimer is I think it's weirdly ashamed of sex, which Nolan has never been great at portraying sexuality. That's always been kind of his Achilles heel. I kind of wish he would just stay away from sex, to be honest, at this point. It has Florence Pugh naked, which I was like, on paper, I'm like, oh, Florence Pugh naked, that's great. And it still makes me, like, he films her in a way that's like a 12-year-old kid who just read their first, who watched her first anime. Like, there's just a... not a grossness to it, but there's almost like a shyness from it that I went, this is weird. Like, why are you filming it like this? So I have issues with Oppenheimer. And the biggest one I have is that Godzilla Minus One, it has more to say about war, and there's a fucking giant monster in it. It has more to say about war than Oppenheimer does. A film about the atomic bomb. I think that's just, I can't overlook that. I can't give a film that has that glaring of an admission of a omission, pardon me. I can't give a film like that best picture, in my head at least. Oppenheimer didn't crack my top 20, to be point very transparent. And I know some people are like, what the fuck, it didn't? No, it didn't crack my top 20. Let me see, do I have my okay, yeah, so here, let me name off a couple of films I liked more. I like Dream Scenario more than I liked Oppenheimer. I liked Iron Claw more than I liked Oppenheimer. I liked Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Amongst Thieves more than I liked Oppenheimer. I liked Blackberry more than I liked Oppenheimer. I liked The Wrath of Becky more than I liked Oppenheimer. I liked the Iron Claw, or no, I mentioned Iron Claw. I liked John Wick Chapter 4 more than I liked Oppenheimer. I liked Teenage Ninja Turtles Meet and Mayhem more than I liked Oppenheimer. I liked Creed 3 more than I liked Oppenheimer. I liked Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 more than I liked Oppenheimer. Yeah, dude, Wrath of Becky kicks a lot of ass, man. That movie is 90 minutes, it's clean, it's cut, it knows exactly what it's trying to be. It gets in, it gets out. Yeah, love the Wrath of Becky. Wrath of Becky rules. So yeah, sorry, y'all. And again, I didn't even hate Oppenheimer. I think I gave it like a B plus or an A minus. I can't remember which one. One of the two, and I do not sound like Nathan. That's fucking ridiculous. Yeah. So again, I liked Oppenheimer. It's just not best picture. Like, I don't know why that's such a hot take, but whatever. some of y'all, like, you know. But seriously, watch some of those. Watch Dream Scenario in particular is a movie that is like fucking tragic, and as a horror film, it's pretty amazing. But like, check that shit out. Check out Dungeons and Dragons. Check out Blackberry. Blackberry was my favorite film of the year up until like 4 months ago when I started seeing all this stuff. But you know, it's fine. And then Best Picture, we had American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of Flower Moon, Maestro, Past Lives, Poor Things, Zone of Interest, and then the eventual winner, Oppenheimer. I knew Oppenheimer was going to win, you know, in a perfect world, out of those nominees, I think Anatomy of a Fall or The Holdovers definitely deserve to win. It sucks it didn't, because I don't like to see all the awards, you know, kind of monopolize, unless the film I think is just that great that you can't even dispute it. And I think you can dispute a lot about Oppenheimer. So that was a drag for me, but you know, that's, yeah, it is what it is. But I will say Nolan in his eyes now has his validation. He's finally won a Best Directing Oscar. He's finally won Best Picture Oscar. Because you know that ever since The Dark Knight came out, that shit has been pissing him off. And so, you know, he got his win. He finally got his Oscar wins. What's Nolan going to do now? And that's my big question. Is he going to be willing to go ahead and actually not rest on his laurels? Is he actually going to go ahead and continue to ascend and continue to improve as a filmmaker? That's my big question. If he comes out and he does, you know, something on the in the vein of Memento or in the vein of The Prestige, if he wants to go ahead and keep pushing himself, then hell yeah, you know, maybe Tenet was the humbling that he kind of needed. But it'll be interesting to see what Nolan does next, to be sure. But yeah, so if it were me, like I said, I would have gone Anatomy of a Fall or Holdovers myself. Check out both of those if you have not. But I think overall for the Oscars, like I think Emma Stone was the big curveball. But honestly, pretty straightforward. I think a lot of people thought Oppenheimer would do well, and it definitely did. But how many wins was that for Oppenheimer? That was like, I think 8, if I was doing the math right. Just scrolling through. Let me see. Let's see. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, so seven wins, up counting it right. So I mean, hey, like that's a hell of a run. Like, say what you will, that's a hell of a run. But Oppenheimer the big winner tonight. So I'm curious to see, like I said, where Nolan goes. I'm curious to see who they get to host next year. Seriously, get anyone else but Jimmy Kimmel, for fuck's sake. But I'm gonna go ahead and get out of here, y'all. Gotta be up for work. God, that's a weird sentence to say. Gotta be up for work tomorrow morning. But there won't be any streams this week, because I'm in training for the next couple weeks. So my schedule is going to be a little weird, but and you're not wrong. It's definitely a thankless job, but I would go like we were talking about, I'd go like John Mulaney. I think he'd be a great choice. I think Taylor Tomlinson would be a great choice. Nick Kroll, John Mulaney as a combo would be fucking great. I would take the swing. I would do like, I think the cast of Abbott Elementary hosting it would be a ton of fun. Because those are all just very great comedians. But I might do a Twitch stream this weekend. I'll keep y'all updated on that. I might get to the theater this week. We'll see. But I'll keep y'all updated. But as far as what's coming up this week, I will have reviews for all the Best Picture nominees coming out daily. So I'm going to drop Oppenheimer tomorrow, and then we'll do Barbie on Tuesday, and then we'll go ahead and go from there. My review right now currently of this new indie film Trust is up on the channel right now. You can check that out wherever you listen to podcasts, SoundCloud, Apple, Google, Podbean, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Amazon Music, TuneUp, and Samsung Podcasts, to name a few, at The Real Pineapple. I also was lucky enough to get an interview with the writer and actress who stars in that film, in Jennifer Levinson. And then the director, Almog Avidan Antonir, we went ahead and talked for over an hour about the film and about the industry and about, you know, what steps they want to take. It was a really engaging conversation. So I highly recommend y'all check that out. And then you can follow me, follow me on the Twitch. You can follow me at twitch.tv/TheRealPineapple. You can go ahead and follow me on YouTube at The Real Pineapple. That's R-E-E-L Pineapple. You can follow me on Blue Sky at realpineapple.bsky.social. You can follow me on Instagram and TikTok at jhunterrealpineapple. That's jhunter and then R-E-E-L and then pineapple. What else? Oh, yeah, you can follow me on Letterboxd at Black Shazam. Yeah, y'all. So I'm going to have, like I said, the reviews for all the Best Picture nominees starting tomorrow coming out. And if I do a Twitch stream this Saturday, I'll definitely let y'all know. I hope that if you were able to watch the Oscars, you had a good night. I hope you had fun. I hope you enjoyed yourself, got some bubbly and all that fun stuff. But everyone, thank you so much, so much, so much for listening. Please stay safe out there. Take care of each other. Stay safe. All that fun stuff. But seriously, y'all, thank you so much. We'll do this again soon. But again, take care, stay safe out there, and never forget, as always, to keep it real.